It's all about the macro productions.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tech Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have Aphrodite!
Swangled in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior.
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Rumble, Band.video, Vigilante TV, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We appreciate it. 10 million. We did it. We hit it. Holy moly. I appreciate it. Thank you guys all for your support over the years. It's, I'm not kidding. There was a time I was convinced I was talking to myself, and I probably was for a long time, but it caught on. Thank you for sharing the show. Thank you for rating the show and doing all those stupid things. I personally don't get all worked up about like how the show is ranked, but I know that it is a trigger for the algorithm. So we'll play that game and I appreciate it. So thanks for listening and for sharing it with your friends and for all that stuff. I'm going to continue to do this, of course. I really enjoy the ability to connect with people twice a week through the podcast platform in a way that you couldn't with books. So thank you. Let's do another 10 million. What do you say? If you want to connect with me, macroaggressions.io is the website that makes that happen. And since we're going to, thank you for 10 million downloads. Thank you to Chemical Free Body for being with me from the beginning. They allow me to talk about their products in a way that I just say whatever I want because I'm a user of their products and have been from the beginning. I can speak about them from a position of knowledge because I take Green 85 every day and I don't know why everybody isn't, because it will make you feel better. It will improve your body. It will make your health much better than it currently is. I know this because I take it. It's just the greatest thing. Go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro, do some shopping, get that detox bundle, get some Green 85. Also, take a look at the water systems that he's got, the Water Hero. He's got a pitcher system. He's got a device you can install on your house. You got to get clean water, period. Get it somewhere. If you got a Berkey or something, good. If you've got a Brita, you're not doing it. That's not going to get it done. That is not working. You got to get honest about your water and about what you're really doing to it. Chemicalfreebody.com/macro. Check out that Water Hero and everything else that's going on over there. We appreciate our friends over there. And if you're interested, Pat Miletich has a super soldier formula over there. That's one product that I have not tried. So I'll tell you what, you guys try that and let me know. I'll probably get it in the meantime. I'm probably meaning to try that out. So chemicalfreebody.com/macro. Also, good Lord, you got to get yourself squared away with some storable food. This is one of these situations where, considering they last 25 years, you're allowed to be early on this. It doesn't even matter. You could be 3 years early on this stuff and it won't matter. But you don't want to be late. That much I know. You do not want to be conducting some form of gladiator training in the frozen food aisle with some asshole who's come in there to grab the last pizza. You know what I mean? You want to have your food situation buttoned up well before the apocalypse, okay? Augustin Farms has the greatest variety of storable food I have ever seen in my life. So I think you might want to take a look at what they've got over there. Yeah, you can get the emergency buckets where there's storable food that's already in there. But if you're somebody that has, I don't know, maybe higher tastes and you want specifics, they've got butter powder and eggs and dairy all dehydrated and in these cool bags. Fruits and vegetables and meats and proteins, all kinds of stuff over there. There's a lot going on. I suggest just go over to augustinfarms.com, AugustinFarms.com. And the promo code is MACRO. They'll give you 10% off on your first order. So load up your cart with whatever you need. Use that promo code MACRO. The link is down in the show notes. The link is over at the website, macroaggressions.io. If you're interested, we'll make sure you've got access to this. Well, I'll tell you, I've been noticing. Have you been noticing? Noticing what? Noticing, you know, the great noticing. Noticing that Israel has a massive public relations problem, you know, because of the 30,000 dead kids and all. It's funny how that happens. It's funny how the world turns against you when your entire strategy is, we're going to murder everybody. Not just the soldiers, not just the air quotes terrorists, the Hamas terrorists. But you know, Hamas terrorist is such a blanket term. It can be used for literally everything. See that hospital over there? I think there are Hamas terrorists hiding in the basement. Let's blow it to smithereens. Hey, you see that preschool over there? What would be a good place for Hamas terrorists to hide? Well, they're not preschoolers, but if they use the preschool as cover, that would be a good place for them to hide. There's probably some in there. Let's level the preschool then. You know, you do this long enough, yeah, you're going to have a public relations problem. And you deserve it. I mean, the disgusting I'm going to be fired up for this episode. I can tell you right now, I am already feeling like I'm shot out of a cannon. By the way, we're going to discuss Project Esther. You need to hang in here and hear this because it's all going to make sense once you understand that there is actually a thing. You'll go, oh, now I get it. I see what they're doing. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what's going on state by state, with regard to some of the limitations on speech, with the noticing, the great noticing. We'll talk about some of the AIPAC spies. You remember when Saddam Hussein in like 1979 had called this big meeting with all his generals? And he stood up there and he said, there are traitors among us. And they started pulling people out like one by one out of this busy auditorium and leading them up. They were the well, they may or may not have been traitors. It sent the message. What they did with those guys, by the way, was all of those people that were taken out there, they had two choices. Either they hold the gun and shoot the guy next to them, or the guy next to them is holding the gun and shooting them. That was the choice that was given. Not to all of them, but some of those guys that were pulled out. Saddam Hussein didn't go out back and shoot all those guys in the head. The guys that were pulled out of the audience, who thought they were going to get killed, most of them were. There were a few of them that did the shooting themselves. They said, well, you want to prove your loyalty, you know, get up there and do that. You know, there should be a grand exposing, a Saddam Hussein moment, where we stand and where we get all of Congress in there and we say, there are traitors among us. The only problem is, the entire Congress would have to be stood up and taken out back. The only person able to pull the trigger would be Thomas Massie. I think everybody else has taken AIPAC money. This is a conquered nation, the United States. I mean, look, if I brought Rich Willett on here from Iconic, he could talk to you about how it's still under crown control, right? So conquered, maybe it's always been conquered. But the current iteration, nobody is shaking their fist at the sky about the undue influence of the British. in American politics, though it is happening, really. Frankly, you know, I'm kind of being sarcastic there, but a case could be made to shake your fist at the sky about the undue influence of the British. Nobody's doing it, though. We all know who the influence is. It's our most trusted ally in the Middle East, you know, the country that was behind JFK's assassination and the USS Liberty and 9/11 and a bunch of other things, you know, where they bombing the King David Hotel. I mean, this is a terrorist state. We've spoken about Israel many times on this show, and we'll continue to. And so I want to talk about what they're doing with the PR here, because this is a losing battle. But they're going to fight it regardless. You know, and I meaning like several months ago, a year ago, my assumption with regard to what's going on in Israel with Gaza was that, much like I know that most Americans are not on board with the American empire's foreign policy, it would be unfair for somebody in Europe to say, you know, those Americans, they just love to go in there and murder everybody. You'd say, hey, hang on a second. Yeah, our government does, but I don't want any part of that. You're like, you know that there's a segment of the American population that doesn't want this. A large segment, a lot of people do not want endless wars. They don't want this. This is not a representation of them. This is what the elitist lunatics want. You know, this is beyond what the general public. So I made the assumption. Well, it wasn't an assumption. It's just a reasonable calculation that there was a lot of, and of course I would see interviews with people. It wasn't like I was just imagining this. I would see interviews with people from Israel who are Israeli Jews who would say, we don't want this. We don't like this. We don't want any part of this. Like what Netanyahu is doing, what they're doing to the Palestinians and the murder and the genocide and the killing of babies and the targeting of hotels and of buildings and giving them social credit scores and all of that we don't want, right? There are some Israeli Jews that are screaming, we don't want that. I made the assumption that it was the majority of them, of Israeli Jews, were sort of held hostage by their government and were saying, maybe we don't love the Palestinians, maybe we don't want them moving into our neighborhood, but we're not interested in murdering them, and we don't want to run them off of that land, and we don't have that sort of beef with them. I just made the assumption that it was, you know, a significant portion. I was wrong. And this is part of the problem here, was that if it was 75% of Israelis were against this ethnic cleansing, then you would say, you know, here we go again. You just got these crazy people in government who are going to do whatever they want to do, regardless of what the people want. But the numbers that I now have out of Israel are alarming. According to a March 2025 Penn State University study, which was republished by Haaretz, they found that 82% of Israeli Jews were in favor of what was going on in Gaza. That changes things for me. Now, I thought it was 80% of Israeli Jews were against it. But if I know that 4 out of 5 Israelis are in favor of the murder of 30,000 children, then I think we might have a culture problem with those people. And you can use that term, those people, however the fuck you want. Because I'm tired of being nice. If you are cheerleading the murder of 30,000 people, you're the bad guy in this situation. And no amount of PR is ever going to fix this. So yeah, Israel is a PR problem, and there is not enough money in the world to change the perception of the average person any longer. It's over for you guys. And you have nobody to blame but yourself. We didn't wake up one morning and come down with a case of anti-Semitism. We watched your behavior, called you out for it. Rightly so. I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm anti-asshole. And you guys, as a country, are a bunch of cunts. 82% of you want all of the Palestinian women and children murdered, and you think you're the victim in this? Please, do shut the fuck up. This is infuriating. So they went on to break down this survey that they did. 82% were in favor of the in favor of what was going on right now. 47% wanted all inhabitants murdered. All of them. Amalek, they used. A biblical enemy marked for total destruction. When asked, 47% of the Israelis said that they wanted to invoke Amalek and totally destroy Gaza. Ben Smotrich said it would be, quote, it would be both, quote, justified and moral to starve 2.1 million people. How are you the good guy? How are you justified and moral in starving 2 million people? Please explain that. Work that out for me, Ben, you lunatic. Gee, I wonder why. There's anti-Semitism everywhere. I wonder why all these people hate us. Oh, I don't know. I don't know, because you think it's justified and moral to murder 2 million people? Maybe that's the reason. Have you ever considered that? Have you ever considered that maybe the victimization decathlon that the Israelis have been participating in since literally the minute their country came into existence is just wearing thin on everybody? We're fatigued. We've had enough. We're tired of it. Oh, are you celebrating the new Jewish holiday? No, we're not. We're fucking over it. Everybody's over it. We're done. It's so exhausting. When you want, quote, total annihilation in Gaza, that's his words, not mine. Total annihilation by Ben Smotrich. And simultaneously, you are complaining that you're the victim. Then you have a mental illness as a society, as a people. I don't know if it's your book. I don't know if it's the food you're eating. I don't know if it's what you're listening to. But culturally, as a society, you people are out of your fucking minds. Now noticing equals anti-Semitism. Well, you know what? The noticing will continue until morale improves. Okay? It's one thing for me to notice that Israel has its tentacles in many aspects of American life, and that it's a parasite nation filled with neurotic, bloodthirsty lunatics. 47%, let me remind you, 47%. I'm not talking about a small group of people. I'm not talking about maybe we're misrepresented. I'm not talking about a few bad apples. I'm now talking about 47% of the people. Thank you very much. We now have a number for it. Not that are in favor of it, but who want all the women and children murdered. So again, if I'm speaking to an audience of Israelis, I have to assume that half of them are psychotic maniacs. I have to. I can't envision a scenario in which I am, even if I thought this, I don't know that I would ever tell anybody that I am in favor of the systemic murder of women and children like this. I don't know how you ever say something like that and say, well, I was taken out of context, or, well, you've got to understand where I'm coming from. No, I don't. I can't. I won't. I shouldn't. You don't get to talk your way out of this. You don't get to explain through a PR campaign. You know, I have to say, the emails that I get from the audience are amazing. I get very nice emails. Every now and then, I get one that's negative. And you know what? Every single time, you know what it is? It's some Israeli who says they want to explain it all to me. I'm done. I don't need an explanation. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not misinformed. I have eyeballs. I know what's going on. So, you know, if almost a majority of all Israelis want all the men, women, children, dogs, cats, chickens, everything destroyed, then I just don't know why you're confused about why the world hates you. Because you're now starting to see high-ranking Israeli officials on camera, too. I mean, I'm sure they're saying it behind closed doors, but now they're saying it on camera, saying things like, we are losing the PR battle. Yeah, no fucking shit. Have you ever considered stopping the murder of children? Well, no, we're not going to do that. I mean, how else do we influence? When I get to Project Esther, you're going to be like, oh my God, they knew they were going to do this the whole time. Why does the world hate us? How can we somehow make ourselves the victims in this whole thing? Do you know what Hasbara is? It's the public diplomacy of Israel. If it's easier, you can just think of it as pro-Jewish, pro-Israel, state-sanctioned, state-sponsored, state-created government propaganda. Because that's what it is. It's when the Israelis realize that the only way they can make you like them is to lie to you about who they really are. So that's what they do. This is propaganda. And it's becoming obvious for everybody that Israel has an undue influence inside the American government, obviously, the American media, and the American military as well. So first things first, let's talk about this. What'd Pam Bondi do on day one? You know, what'd she do before she must have moved in her comfortable chair into her office? And then what'd she do? Day one, she disbanded the Foreign Influence Task Force before they could investigate the undue influence of the state of Israel and all its appendages and tentacles. Day one, first thing she did, call off the dogs. The task force that was investigating Israel for, you know, well, really, they're just investigating everybody for undue foreign influence. So where would you go first? Are we going to go to Portugal? Are we going to get to the bottom of this undue influence of the Portuguese in the American Empire? We should. Those fuckers have been messing with us for too long. Or are they going to start with Israel? Well, they're not going to start anywhere because the task force has been disbanded. That's what Pam Bondi was sent in there to do, right? It's just an interesting priority. Day one, right? Turn off the alarm system. Open up the back door. Let everybody come right in. Right? Great. Yeah. God only knows what that task force would have found. But I'm sure they know about the special relationship that Israel has with its host. I'm sure they would have had some thoughts on that. But Naga, I'm not going to put that task force together anymore. It's out of here. Because that's what you do. When you're making America great again, everybody, don't you know? Are you still trusting the plan? You guys aren't trusting the plan hard enough. I'm telling you, it's coming. You just need to sit back and wait. You see, Pam Bondi is playing a million D chess right now, and you just are too stupid to figure out what she's really doing. I'm happy to say that Benjamin Netanyahu has now had his laundry done on four different occasions at the White House this year. That's amazing. That's impressive. He's got one of those punch cards, right? He's got his seventh trip, and his eighth trip, it's always free anyway. Boss is coming to check on his bitch, Donald J. Trump. By the way, all of you Trumpers out there, I want you to just know something. I want you to internalize this. I want you to know that Donald Trump is Benjamin Netanyahu's bitch, okay? I want you to know that. I want you to internalize that. I want you to understand that. When you're going on and on and on about how great Donald Trump is, I just want you to know that he gets on his knees for Daddy Bibi, okay? That's his boss. So he's a big tough guy until the boss comes to town. And then you know what he does? He washes his dirty underwear for him. If you guys are wondering what I'm talking about with the laundry, Benjamin Netanyahu brings his dirty laundry when he comes to his trips to Washington, to the White House. Have you heard these stories? The first time I read it, I thought, oh, get fired. This can't be, you know, there's got to be like some, I mean, it sounds like something he would do, but it's so on the nose that you think like, oh my God, like really? And then you realize, oh no, he does. It's a power move. It's a power move. You do my laundry while you're pulling out the chair for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is, you know, Trump helped broker the forced sale of TikTok to the ardent Zionist CIA contractor, second richest guy in the world. That would be Larry Ellison. $373 billion. You can buy TikTok with the money that you have in your ashtray of your car if you wanted to. And really, there's plenty of billionaires that could buy TikTok. I mean, if you think about it, it might be very valuable, especially a forced sale. But of course, you'd have to have approval, government approval. So they're not just going to sell it to anybody. You're not going to let, I think Roger Ver probably has enough money to buy TikTok. You're not going to let Roger Ver go buy TikTok, right? And then put all his propaganda. So you have to have somebody who's going to control it, like Larry Ellison. Somebody who you know is a CIA asset, has been from the beginning. Of course, a reminder that his company, Oracle, didn't actually start with the name Oracle. It started with a different name and then changed it about 7 or 8 years later. But the company was built to work on the CIA's Project Oracle, which is the reason why he changed the name of the company to Oracle. So to say that he is a CIA asset is an understatement. He's literally created by the CIA. In fact, Oracle is a CIA front company, which is hilarious because, you know, they start these companies as like, well, we can't be doing it. We got to have somebody else do like a public-private sort of thing. Like we'll start Facebook through InQtel and we'll start Oracle and we'll start on. And, you know, the CIA is always trying to run drugs and make all this money. God damn, they found a way to make a ton of money. Just get in the tech business, take your companies public. You know, but it's harder because you're not supposed to be the owner of it, but you are. So you really maybe don't get the upside of the stock appreciation, but you do get the control because guys like Larry Ellison and guys like Mark Zuckerberg are in these positions of power to run these CIA controlled companies because they are they're Zionists. and that's why. So you've got to get TikTok. TikTok comes out of China. Starts talking about a lot of free speech type things, starts, you know, the filter, the algorithm isn't set the same way that Meta's is. And next thing you know, TikTok is talking about some things that maybe the Zios don't want you talking about. So what do we have to do? We have to demonize them and say, oh, it's undue Chinese influence through a social media platform. It's like, listen, if we're concerned about undue foreign influence through social media, we have bigger fish to fry. But of course, that's not really what it's about. That's only the story. So they say China's a big threat. We've got to get it and we have to sell it. Frankly, I'd rather China own TikTok than Larry Ellison because you know that, that they might as well just move the headquarters to Tel Aviv because this is it. And that's, Israel's next target is the guy who's one notch above Larry Ellison on the power rankings. Elon Musk coming in at number one. He's got a little bit of money, right? But his acquisition of Twitter X has been problematic, I think, for the Zionist perspective. You know, he used money from the Qatar Investment Authority, $375 million to help buy X. Now, $375 million out of $44 billion is not much. It's 1% of the total overall amount. But you remember seeing Elon Musk at the World Cup and in Qatar with the Crown Prince or whoever, and Jared Kushner was there, sitting there with him, and everyone's like, I don't like this. It's a bad idea. Yeah, it's so. First things first, TikTok. Grab TikTok. Put the Zio filter on it so that we shut all that down, which has happened. And you're already starting to see posts get flagged for hateful content. The icon, the little the little emoji of the box of juice, the juice box, which is always kind of a nice code for Jews. You see that the juice box emoji has been banned on TikTok already because so you can already see what's happening, and they want X. That's next. And so that's going to come. It's already in the process. I mean, when Elon hired Linda, she's like a hardcore Zionist. That was a bad pick. So they're going to be infiltrating. Well, I mean, not to say that they're not already infiltrating X, but I mean, really making it a priority, because, you know, it's been a problem. And of course, Israel's lobby is triple Qatar's lobby, right? And most of it isn't even registered under FARA, because they don't give a fuck about breaking the rules. What are you gonna, you know, we have these foreign agent registration clauses, laws, where you can't accept funds from foreign governments and you have to register as a foreign agent and you have to do all these things. And you can, there's ways in which you can donate money, but you have to do it the right way, and you have to be registered as a foreign agent. You have to acknowledge who you're working for. The Israelis don't give a shit about that. Sure, they have acknowledged some foreign agents who are working for them and have them registered as foreign agents. So you go, oh yeah, those are your registered guys. Who are your unregistered guys? Where's the unregistered money coming from? You know what I mean? Because it is, and nobody's going to prison. So what are you going to do? You're going to arrest somebody in Israel for financing? Well, first of all, you can't, because there's an interesting little part in here. You know what? I'll get to that in a second. I'll get to that in a second. But it's funny. We don't have a problem with Qatari influence. I think that's quite obvious. We've seen the push to normalize that as a thing on X quite a bit, where people are like, well, listen, if it wasn't for all this Qatari influence, and it's like, good, keep talking about that. Anybody who is posting on social media talking about the undue influence of Qatar has just outed themselves as an Israeli Hezbollah agent. And that is, that, you know, I mean, you've got Laura Loomer, that transvestite on there, who is screaming at the top of his or her lungs about how Qatar is influencing our elections. And it's hilarious because it's not true, obviously. And yeah, I mean, I'll be clear on this. When they talk about Russian influence on our election or Qatar's influence in our election, do I think that these countries have an interest in who is involved in our elections? Yes. Do I think that that Qatar's in their financing it candidates to? No. No. It's such an embarrassing deflection that I mean it's so obvious that I'm embarrassed on their behalf that they would try to pivot to, oh well, I mean, it's Qatar's influence, and you just go, really? All those flags everywhere? You remember when the Qatari president came to Congress and gave that speech, and then he got 57 standing ovations, and then somebody blew him in the back? You remember that? I remember that, how everybody, oh wait, no. Yeah, we know who the influence is. It's embarrassing that they would talk about this. Let's pivot to Project Esther, because, I mean, I'd rather have Aunt Esther, if you know what I mean, sucka. This is terrible. This is, of course, Heritage Foundation. So you go, here we go again. It's a bunch of old white devils. Think of like Lindsey Graham. When I think of the Heritage Foundation, I think of old white guy, old whiteys in like white suits and like the I say sort of thing. You know, the Heritage Foundation. There's not tampons in the men's bathroom, if you know what I mean, right? So they're not messing around with that. They have the Heritage Foundation's playbook for combating anti-Semitism is something known as Project Esther. Okay, it is a public-private plan to dismantle all groups who are supporting Palestinian rights. And it's kind of like a two for one, because you get rid of leftists that would also oppose Israel's genocide, right? So you get rid of anybody that's pushing for Palestinian rights is probably also, I mean, I'm pushing, I want Palestinian rights, but I'm not a lefty. You could make the assumption that anybody pushing for Palestinian rights is kind of lefty. And so what they're doing is they're getting rid of leftists who need to be gotten rid of course, because their ideas are disjointed and retarded. But they're also getting rid of anybody who would be critical of Israel at the same time. So this is because like the Heritage Foundation, they're pro-Israel, but they're also anti-leftist. So this is great for them because they found a group of people who are awful leftists, and because they have started coming out against Israel, they've given themselves, they've put a big target right on them to get whacked by groups like the Heritage Foundation. Now, normally, the American Empire is fine with the Antifa leftist types out there causing problems because it gives them the opportunity to crack down. But when the leftist types are going on and on about Israel, that's a problem. They can't have that. So if Trump implements Project Esther, Project 2025, whatever, there is the potential for abuse of free speech. Obviously, this should go without saying. And this has the potential to draw even more attention to them trying to control the thoughts of America. See, this is where they get themselves into trouble with these things. And I'm not trying to give them any suggestions on how to be better globalists. But the thing is that they make these decisions and these calculations, and they don't really take it. They hate us and think, you know, that they don't respect the general public, of course, but they don't even really take their behavior into account because, you know, they forget the Streisand effect. And that is like the origins of this story was that Barbara Streisand, that awful woman, had a house in Malibu and a beachfront property in Malibu. And they tried to like block the beach so that it's a public beach, and they tried to make it so that nobody could come on her beach. And the problem is that she did this out in the press, had this fight and made a big stink about it in the press about how everyone was coming to her beach and so what it did was from that point forward, everybody came to her beach. And it was then deemed the Streisand effect, meaning be very careful about how loud you complain about your problems, because the general public has the ability to make your problems infinitely worse if they choose to. So what Israel is doing right now is there's a bit of Streisand effect here. They are screaming about how they are the victims always and in all ways. Yet the general public is looking at what's going on in Gaza, and they're understanding that this is, of course, a fabrication. So the more you, and then when you see that they're trying to control the way your perception of this, that they're trying to get you to say, oh, no, what you see isn't reality. We're actually the most moral army in the world. Literally, they've said that. I'm not making that up. Israel is the most moral army in the world. It's a complete inversion. But you do that long enough to people who know that you're lying to them, and next thing you know, you have a perception problem. You have a PR problem that's not going to get fixed. This is why I say that there's not enough money. There's never going to be enough money to fix this. Because the more you lie about it, the more people say, I'm dealing with a person who will look me in the eyes and lie to me about murdering children. You never forget that. There's no whitewashing these crimes, you understand. You can throw as much money as you want at C-level influencers, but it's not going to change the perception. So let's talk about this. Here's part of this, Project Esther. This is the concerning part, mean, it's all concerning, but this is so from June to December 2025, there's a $900,000 budget to buy, lease, whatever you want to say, of these, I just describe them as C-level influencers. And these influencers will work. They will be hired and paid for by an Israeli PR firm. It's called Bridge Partners, okay? Bridge Partners is owned by two Israelis. And you know it's they're two Israelis because when I get done reading their names, you're going to say, holy shit. Yuri Steinberg and Yair Levy. Holy, geez. Jewy Judenstein wasn't available to get in on some of that ownership. Well, he missed out. But see, they've entrapped... Here's the thing. Here's why you never get into business with the Israelis. All of these influencers who just got themselves a little bit of money and got flown to Israel for this trip, they all just entrapped themselves because none of them happened to register as foreign agents. And you see, you need to register as a foreign agent before you start accepting gifts from foreign agents, right? This is the trap. So you done already fucked up, Aaron, on this one. So, and let me a reminder, FARA violations, 5 years in prison, $250,000 fine. So let's talk a little bit about who these people are. Here's the requirements on this. If you, first of all, you are making a deal with the devil. If you are an influencer, and by the way, I use that term influencer extremely loosely. When I read off the name of some of these people, you're going to go, oh, who? I don't know who they're influencing, but they are required to post between 25 and 30 times a month. Could you, what do I post 25 to 30 times a month? I really don't know, but maybe it's me just yelling into the sky, I think. But if let's just say every day, because it's 30 times and 30 days in a month. Let's keep it easy. If once a day on my X account, which is really the only place I use for social media, there was an unusual post from me that was like, I sure do love this Israel. At some point would you go, hey, what's with all the posts, man, about how much you love this Israel? I mean, what am I going to talk about? What would I talk about, to be clear? Nobody is considering hiring me for a post like this. Not that I would take the money, but you might have read about a similar influence operation where these ex-influencers were making like up to $7,200 per post. There'd be like some, I mean, it sounds crazy, of course, but then once you hear that they're getting paid for it, and you kind of assume it anyway, but you actually get a dollar number. Then people were pulling up these old posts that these guys were making, you know, people that had decent followings. And you would go, oh, well, that looks like a $7,000 post to me. Yeah, that makes sense. It's like, well, it's the thing about Israel's most moral army in the world is that they say, you know, they always bury their, you know, the dead, you know. They always say a prayer for, you know, like you go through these tweets and you're like, this is craziness. This is unhinged. But now it's out again. So now you see that there's actually a dollar figure behind this, and you start to see some of the names of the people who are involved. So I said, I would list off some of these influencers. I'm not even going to put, there's like 20 of them on this list, and really like most of them you have never heard of. But Emily Austin, I don't know who Emily Austin is. 3.3 million total followers. Jeremy Abramson, 2 million. I don't know. Xavier DuRussois. It's spelled like Russo. You know the black dude with the white afro? The fruity black guy who's like, oh, you know, girl, we just out here in Israel. That guy. Yeah, he's got 1.6 million followers. Emily Saves Israel. I mean, Emily Saves America, 1.2 million. Ben Sofer, 1.5 million. Influence over whom? I mean, I don't know. This is, So from this group, there were 18 million total social media. This is the C-level people I'm talking about. 18 million total followers for this group. And the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs pays for it. They send money to a company called Israel 365, or maybe it's an NGO, I don't know. But they organize the Hasbara propaganda tour. But that money comes from the Israeli government. So you're receiving free trips, you're receiving free gifts from the Israeli government, making you, and you're not registering as a foreign agent. That's a problem. And how much money is out there for this? Well, there's 40 million for propaganda right now. There's 24 million for influencers. There's 16 million for Israel trips. And they just hired Trump's old campaign guy, Brad Parscale. Do you remember Brad Parscale? You might have seen the video of him having a mental breakdown and getting arrested by the police, losing his mind. That guy, Israel's paying him $1.5 million a month. Okay, they're desperate. They're trying to get young people to not hate them. They refuse to stop doing the one thing that will get everybody to stop hating them. They just refuse to do it. It's very simple. Stop murdering women and children, and the general public will hate you less. Will you stop murdering women and children? No. Okay. Well, then you can pay Brad Parscale $10 million a month. It's not going to make any difference. They think you're stupid. They think you can be manipulated and convinced. They think that Brad Parscale will just explain it to you and you'll go, oh, I get it now. Now it all makes sense. Of course, yeah, you've had to murder the 30,000 kids. I get it now. Why didn't you lead with that? It would have made so much. I would have... Oh, gotcha. So, I mean, here's what Emily Austin, Jeremy Abramson, Xavier, whatever the fuck, Emily Saves Israel, and Ben Sofer don't realize is that when you go on these trips, you're staying in a room that is wired with cameras and microphones. The second you get there, your phone has been compromised with Israeli spyware. That hot Israeli chick that you fucked during your trip was a spy. Okay? It's all on camera. They're going to come for you at some point with the bill. You don't get all this stuff for nothing. You ain't special, Xavier. You will be made to work for this foreign nation at some point. Let's talk about the states and the cities. Mayor Adams of New York City is in some sort of trap. I mean, how else would you explain why he started the mayor's office to combat anti-Semitism? Oh, what are we doing? The mayor has started his own particular office to combat anti-Semitism. I wonder why that is. I wonder why Mayor Adams all of a sudden decided that he's got to start some new division that's going to combat anti-Semitism. Well, he's going to have his hands full when that new socialist mayor gets in there. Eric Adams, of course, will be run out, and they'll put that new socialist guy in there, and then he'll have the mayor's office on combating anti-Semitism, and I can't wait to see what that looks like. Because that'll be a combination of there'll be a Muslim implementing anti-Semitism. I'm very confused with the whole thing. It feels very fake. What about Governor Abbott in Texas, that legless Zionist half-person traitor? He is requiring Texas higher education to incorporate the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. Oh, God. There is a group, okay, in case you didn't know. International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. Are we remembering that the Red Cross redid the number from 6 million down to 1.5 million in the 90s? Are we remembering that part of the Holocaust? Because I'd love to remember that. It's funny how you guys don't remember to change the numbers, do you? The Red Cross did that, not me. I didn't go up there and change the number. The Red Cross did. It's not 6 million. I don't know if they went upstate and told you. We're not shining shoes anymore. We're not doing 6 million anymore, guys. It's 1.5. It's really 271,000, mostly from typhus. As you know, people are starting to ask questions about everything. They're going, hey, what about that number? You know, you guys, they've been talking about, say, you know, they're lying about all this stuff in Gaza. What about that Holocaust? It's like, oh, welcome to the party. Yeah, there's a lot of lying going on about all kinds of things. And it's not limited to them, to be fair. Not limited to them. There's plenty of lying going on by other groups of people, too. But that lie never dies. It can't. It can't. The lie of the Holocaust can never die. Because if you're willing to lie about that, you're willing to lie about anything. And you want to talk about a bad PR campaign? If the general public were to come to the understanding that they have been lying about the 6 million figure for 70 years, again, tough to have the PR campaign to paper over that. You're going to need a bajillion dollars, and it's not going to do you any good. But again, with the Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, that their definition of anti-Semitism, they incorporate Texas with Abbott, incorporated this group, the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, their definition of anti-Semitism into the free speech policies of the higher education system inside of Texas. Texas colleges have a free speech policy. The free speech policy was written by the people at the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. Okay. So the people that are in charge of monitoring free speech are from a group that has been lying about the Holocaust for 70 years. They're going to be in charge of free speech, the liars, the lying liars. Do you see how this works? He also, Greg Abbott, Governor Abbott, wheels. He also established the Texas Holocaust Genocide and Anti-Semitism Advisory Commission to create studies on anti-Semitism. Really? That's the priority? With all the problems you've got in Texas, you've got millions of people coming across your southern border, your power system goes down when it gets cold in the winter, and you know, and the pressing issue is to create the Texas Holocaust Genocide and Anti-Semitism Advisory Commission. This is a priority. Why? I thought you were Texas. I thought you don't mess with Texas. Apparently, you can mess with Texas as long as you have a six-pointed star, right? Lone Star? You got competition, baby. What kind of studies on anti-Semitism are you going to create? I have a free study for you. Stop killing kids, and then the people won't hate you so much. That's free. You can have, first one's free. You have to hire me for the other ones. Totally not a shakedown, bribe, make work project. Totally not. Not that. It's definitely not that. Nice wheelchair you have there, Governor. Be ashamed if something happened to it. Promoting Holocaust and genocide education to dismantle anti-Semitism. Are we promoting the Bolshevik Holocaust? Are we going to talk about, oh, I see. So there's only certain ones we're going to talk about. We're not going to talk about the one that killed 60 million Christians. We're going to talk about the one that has the 6 million number that the Red Cross said was more like 1.5. Okay, got it. Yeah, this is great. And by the way, that's definitely going to dismantle anti-Semitism. For sure. All of this prioritization and... it's definitely going to make people feel like everything's fair and normal. Since 2017, Israeli lobbying groups have donated $454 million to elections inside the United States, but that's just what's registered. And I wouldn't even begin to know how much is coming in that's unregistered. I would just say multiples of that number. If that number is 454, I don't know, let's just round up and say 500 million. If 500 million is coming in registered since 2017, then I'd add at least another zero to that one. I don't know. And Abbott, Governor Abbott, again, we're sticking with this, with the state of Texas, because they have been authoritarian with their support of Israel, probably because Governor Abbott is on camera doing something unspeakable. It's the only way I can understand why you would sign a law requiring individuals and businesses that contract with the state to sign a pledge affirming they do not and will not boycott Israel. Man, that is psychotic behavior. I just have to say. Oh, and they did it again in Georgia as well. They put that clause in there in Georgia. If you're a company and you're working with the state of Texas on a, I don't know, fuck, you're a landscaping company. The state of Texas has hired you to clean to manage the side of the freeways, to trim all that stuff down and clean all that stuff down. Your workers all have to sign a pledge that they will not boycott Israel in order to work there. And if they refuse to sign that pledge, they won't get the job. Again, why are you worried about so many people boycotting Israel? Is it because you're doing things that are making people want to rightly boycott you? Because if there's one thing I've learned, making people promise not to hate you always works while you're doing hateable things. I mentioned I would name the APAC spies. Yeah, I could put on my Saddam Hussein uniform and I could say, there are spies among us. Marco Rubio. I'd grab that guy out of the audience. Have him. Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, is a foreign agent. I don't know what he's done in the past to put himself under the control of Israel. I'm going to assume the worst because it's Marco Rubio and I can. I'm going to assume that he did something that has no expiration date. And Mike Waltz, UN ambassador, I wonder what his hard drive looks like. I bet it's awful. John Ratcliffe, the director of national intelligence. If you saw that clip of Ratcliffe sitting next to Hegseth, when Hegseth is trying to get Trump to not do more for Israel and Ukraine. And you see Ratcliffe, you see that him like a suit, and you can't see Trump, but the two of them are sitting next to each other. And Trump is saying he's going to support whatever. He's going to continue to send more arms to Ukraine or something like that. And Ratcliffe just like sighs, like oh, it's like a smile. You can see it. It's like very nonverbal. It's just written on his face as soon as, and at the same time, Hegseth is kind of like, oh fuck, you know, like you. John Ratcliffe is an Israeli asset. He should be interrogated, tried for, made to confess, tried for his crimes, and hanged at town square. All these people. Elise Stefanik, same thing. These are people who are collecting a paycheck from the American government. They have jobs inside the American government, but they don't represent America. They're Israelis. They might be American citizens, but as far as I'm concerned, they're Israelis. A lot of dual nationals, a lot of dual passports. We've talked about this before. When Bill Ackman, hedge fund billionaire, he can hold struggle sessions with Charlie Kirk and hold retreats for his dipshit influencers. But it's too late. You know, the blood's all over their hands. you can't, you know, we see what is happening in Gaza. We see how we're being lied to about what's happening in Gaza by the media, which we expect. Then you see the individuals, the politicians who come out and tell you not to believe your lying eyes. And I'm glad that they're talking. I want them to talk, continue to talk, step in front of that batch of microphones, tell us that we're all not seeing what we see. You know, because this outs them. It shows me who they work for. Not that I wasn't pretty clear on who it was. But it's obvious now, even for the people who aren't normally paying attention, they're starting to ask some difficult questions about this. And you should, because what's happening in the Middle East, what's happening in Gaza matters. Even as an American, it matters to you. It's being done with our weapons, through our money, with our support, both militarily, financially. It's a stain on us. It's being coordinated by our so-called partner, whose magic book instructs them to believe of anybody who isn't like them as being insects and bugs and cattle and goyim, right? So if your magic book is telling you to hate all of us, then I don't know why you're worried about the PR campaign. Just lean into it. Be honest with it. Step in front of those microphones and say, that's right. We want you all dead because you're not like us. I'd at least have a little bit of respect for you if you did that. You know, it is illegal for a country or its agents to fund U.S. elections. It is illegal, except for one country, Israel. I wonder why they changed that law. It's legal for them, and they hate our guts. I mean, they really do. If we don't stop this, based on the current trajectory of where we're headed, they will make criticism of what they are doing illegal. It's now or never. Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. Macroaggressions.io is the website. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you again soon.